Let's go to Luke chapter 1. How many in this room like pop music? Gee, only a few honest ones. No, I do. Stuff that's, old classic rock and roll. I like that. I'm sure Dan, I'm looking at Dan and Roxanne. Like some old classic rock and roll that the younger crowd among you, the rest of you thought we were going to hell, and you were right. And we needed Jesus, so. But pop music, pop music is still something of the vein that I just enjoy that kind of music. Michael Bublé and all these kinds of people, and they sing these romantic ballads, and when they sing those romantic ballads, doesn't matter how many years you've been married, you want to snuggle up next to your baby, right? I see some of you wanting to snuggle up right now. Careful. Anyway, so we sing these songs. There have been the songs like "I'm So Devoted to You," right? Remember? No, none of you knew what the heck I sang or what melody I was singing. Let's try another one. How about, remember the Everly Brothers? Who remember the Everly Brothers? All right, see, I knew I had the right demographic. Wake up, oh, that's the wrong song. Let's see, "I'm So Devoted to You." I'm trying to remember the melody of that. "So devoted to you." Anyway. It was a song about devotion, song about love. And Paul Anka had a big hit, remember? "And they call it puppy love." Well, you didn't join in. And then that came back around many years later with who?
Donny
Osmond. That's right. That's right. See, I'm trying to cover all my age brackets here this morning. Love, romance, devotion. In the pop world, means a little different than what you find in the scriptures. It gives us some direction of thought, something we can relate to. But when you take a look at devotion for the Lord, something devoted to God, when you look at Mary's devotion, and that's the name of the morning's message, when you take a look at Mary's devotion, you see something even greater. Something deeper. You take a look at Webster's 1828 dictionary. Let me just try to give you a few of these quickly. What's the meaning of devotion? Being dedicated, consecrated, or solemnly set apart for a particular purpose. How many guys have a certain tool that you use maybe just once or twice a year for a certain project? Okay, Michael's hand goes way up. Several of you guys. Several. There's just the right tool for the right purpose, and it's devoted to that thing. Somebody picks it up, starts banging that tool around with something else, would you guys get upset at them?
Yeah.
You said that very mild-manneredly this morning. Don't touch my tool. It's set apart for a particular purpose. And that's the only purpose it serves. A solemn attention to the supreme being in worship. The dictionary goes on to say, devotion means yielding of your heart and your affections to God with reverence, faith, and piety. Or here's this one, ardent love or affection, passionate, really a burning hot love in your heart for God. It's an attachment manifested by constant attention. How many in this room are glad Jesus gives you constant attention? How many know that Jesus loves you? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we give Him our ardent affection and constant attention. Earnestness, ardor, eagerness. And there's even more to the word than that. Because when you come over to the Old Testament and try to tie it in with the perspective from the New, there's a deeper dimension even in the Old Testament. How many know that there were devoted things in the tabernacle and in the temple. In the tabernacle when they did the sacrifices. The animals of sacrifice were what? Devoted to God. Now we've come a long ways in 3 minutes from what they call it puppy love devotion to all of a sudden an animal who's a sacrifice is one of the devoted things. Who can tell me what that meant? If you were the animal. Yeah, not good. Animals are sweating. Death. That which was set apart for God's purpose. What? What do you think? Oh, okay. 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 So in closing, so she can get home. Now here's where my mind went. I went to the little hand puppet, lamb chops. There's a child of the 60s or 50s. But the animal gave its entire life as a devoted thing to God. It didn't give part of a limb. When you sacrifice that animal, life is in the blood, the Bible says. In fact, that's still true today. Doctors, medical practitioners, they'll all tell you, you want to know the story of how you're feeling? We'll draw some blood. Because life and its story is in the blood. That's a powerful thought. Carry that through for Bible study, and that's absolutely powerful. Anyway, when they committed the animals, it meant death. It was devoted. It was devoted to God. All those, oh, wow, how sweet. Isn't that wonderful? But a lot deeper, it meant its entire being was given to God. Devotion cost everything. In Genesis 22, we see that Abraham was prepared to offer Isaac. How many know that would have cost Isaac everything? Abraham probably couldn't get away by saying, son, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurt you. I don't think so. Although it was so deep, I can't imagine him coming to that place of surrender. And so Abraham, too, was devoted to God. Remember 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, if you're taking notes. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. And that was when David wanted to purchase the threshing floor. Remember, after he had done some sins and all of that, he had to stop the killing angel, and he stopped it at the threshing floor, and he wanted to build the temple there. In fact, that's where it was built later. And the whole thing was, the owner said, I'll give you this land. And David said, absolutely not. I will not do something before my God that doesn't cost me something. Now, we've come into a day and age where people want cheap and easy and fast. Cheap, easy, fast. But in God's perspective, according to the Scripture, it's not that way at all. It's deep, profound, and for eternity. How many know you gave your life to Jesus for eternity? Turn to each other and say, you're His. I will not give God sacrifices that cost me nothing. Too easy. It's not that my works saved me. That's not what I'm talking about. But God wants to know that I am His, body, soul, and spirit. Everything I am, everything I have. Recall in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark 14, 3 through 9. The woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears poured out the ointment of perfume. Remember, she broke a what? An alabaster box. And it was a fantastic fragrance, valuable, and it was one of the most important treasures, if not the most important treasure she had in her life. It was worth an entire year's wages. And somebody standing by as one of the disciples said, forbid her, Lord! That could have been sold and money given to the poor. You always have those issues you face. But the Lord wants you first, your whole life. And she poured her life out to Jesus. And He said, let her alone. She's preparing me for my burial. And that was coming in just a couple of days. Some writers suggest that the fragrant oil was so entrenched upon His garments and over His belongings, that when they beat the perfect Lamb of God, and when they scourged Him and they crucified Him, the fragrance of God was still over Him. If it's devoted to God, it's not partial, it's whole. It's everything. Once you've placed your life in His hands and surrendered to Jesus, how many understand your life is not your own just to say willy-nilly, I'm going to take it back again? How many belong to Jesus here in this room? Come on, let me see your hands held high. Amen. You got me, all of me, Lord. How about when it's not easy? You're still His? How about when it's frustrating? How about when you're bugged? How about when He's bugged at you? He made you and me, knows best how to lead us. Let's see how this works in Mary's life. Let's just do some good Bible study this morning and enjoy seeing this come through Mary's life. Number one, if you're taking notes, write down Mary's decree. Mary's decree. Chapter 1 of Luke, and let's go to verse 30, and 30 through 33 is what we'll be reading. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You have found what with God? Favor with God. "And you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Tell me, why do you think Mary would be afraid? Why would she be afraid? Wouldn't you? Okay? Well, one of the simple things would be, in this culture, it wasn't appropriate for a man to be speaking to some woman out there or a young girl out there. That just wasn't appropriate. And who is this guy anyway? And what's with this message he's bringing to me? There are a myriad of reasons why Mary could have been terribly frightened. But she is possibly, by the way, mark this down, just remember this, she is probably only between the ages of 12 to 14 years of age. Mary, who made a decision that impacted life and eternity, who is understandable fearing right here, was only probably 12, maybe 14 years of age. What an incredible weight to put on her shoulders. But it was also the privilege of all the ages, and every woman born in Israel who went on to marry wanted to bear the Messiah. Mary was of the tribe of Judah and of the lineage of David. Hence, she was in the royal line. Mary found favor. Say with me the word charis. Charis. And it means graciousness or gratitude. Mary wasn't perfect. By the way, let me just say that at the outcome. We're not here venerating Mary. We're looking to learn from Mary's life. She's to be respected and appreciated. I appreciate what Mary has done. We're not here to worship a sinless, perfect being that some say is Mary. Mary needed Christ just like all the rest of us. Mary needed Jesus just like all the rest of us. I love my Catholic brethren, but I'm here to say we are not here to pray to Mary. We are not here to exalt her beyond due place, but we are here to see some things from her life that give us understanding to respect. And Lord, let some of these qualities be in us. Amen. She wasn't perfect, but we're grateful for her spirit, her attitude, her prayers, her belief in God's plans, and she set a model that we can follow. Nowhere in Scripture does it say we are to worship her. Mary found grace in the eyes of the Lord just like we do. Okay, now consider the depth of this calling that came. Can you imagine what she must have been feeling? I don't want to mess this up. I'm supposed to carry the Messiah. Oh, I don't want to blow this. You know, in today's day and age language, but what did she do? For all the worry, all the fear there might be, what did Mary simply need to do? Just cooperate with God and say yes. How many of you know that God's calling for certain things in your life, or from things to be taken from your life, or changes to make, or people to reach? God's got a calling in each of your life and mine. And all it really takes is our surrendered yes, saying, "I will cooperate." Can you say that with me? Yes, I will cooperate. That's what he asks from us. Believe him and cooperate with him. She just needed to say yes to God, and she did. Number two, Mary's dilemma. First, Mary's decree, or the decree to Mary. Second, Mary's dilemma. She's honest, and I love this. Can you imagine the pain? Just imagine the culture she's living in. Consider the trauma, the shame, the horrific thing that was going to come upon her because she had not known a man. She was a virgin. And yet all of a sudden, this angel says, "You're going to have a baby." And the ramifications of that, in those day and age, still could have been stoning. Stoning. Look at what it says. Verse 34, she's honest, and this is the only place I see it, of any question she has. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Verse 34. Out of the New American Standard Bible, Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" It wasn't a huge statement of disbelief. It's simply a question of incredulity. It's incredulous. How can this be, Lord? How can this possibly happen? But the beauty that I want you to see in this moment of Mary's dilemma is that she was honest to God about it. She let Him know what she was feeling. Pastor Sherry has a fantastic teaching, on letting Jesus know you. Changed my life. And the issue is, we all run around saying, I want to know you, God, I want to know you, God. And we do want to know Him. But the Lord says, I want to know you. Get away from me. I never knew you. That's not the other way around. So Mary's letting God know her right now. How can this be? I can't understand it, Lord. How can it possibly come to pass? But what we are to be is honest with God. And she was. Because she was honest, God answered her. Can you be honest with God in your time with Him? Are you breathing?
Yeah.
Honest? Okay. Because she was honest, God answered her. Maybe you're going through something that makes no sense. Listen, I went through some of that just even again yesterday. I did an errand and I went up to a storage room. Gee, I must be getting older. Where's that title? Went to a storage room and I looked around at things that had changed in my life just this year. Things that I don't understand the why for yet. But I said, okay. That bugs me. I range with emotions like, I'm very passionate, so it bugs me, makes me angry, ticks me off, and I feel sad. Anybody else in this room ever feel like that? Come on, huh? Not alone, okay. But I was honest with God. I didn't try to deny it. I just said, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me, what's happened this year. But I trust You. But still bugs me. But all the while, it doesn't mean He doesn't love you any less. He wants to engage with you and me. He wants us to come to Him. Tell me what's on your heart, daughter. Oh, you know, I don't have to say anything. No, tell me. Do you ever have that kind of time with your kids? You know, maybe you knew exactly what happened in her life. You may have seen him out the window, kick the cat. And all of a sudden he's feeling guilty about it. That sounds specific, doesn't it? All of a sudden, my son feels guilty about it. No. But you look out and you see something and you pray and you try to help them open up if there's something going on in their spirit and they don't want to talk about it. But freedom comes when they do. Amen? So too in our time of prayer. Sometimes you just need to let the river flow. Just get it out with God. Get it out with Him. Luke 1, 35 through 37. And the angel answered, because she was honest, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say that with me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. One more time. For with God, nothing will be impossible. She agreed. She listened. She believed. She confessed. With God, nothing will be impossible. How am I going to be pregnant? The angel is, God is going to put a seed within me. Okay? What's going to happen then? I have no idea. But God is in charge. For with God, nothing is impossible. She got that. She understood that. Now she makes a decision. Number three is Mary's decision. So she makes a decision. A quick decision. She doesn't go running home to mom and dad and ask for 3 days to fast and pray. And she doesn't get 14 counselors around her to tell her what she should do. She just says, yes, God, I believe you. She doesn't debate with a relative. She doesn't argue with the angel of God. No wonder Jesus picked this precious woman of faith. Amen? Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The Magnificat, as will come a little bit later, but behold, let it be to me according to your word. Out of the message it says, Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Then the angel left. She agreed. She believed. She confessed. She was ready. And she said, "Do it, Lord." What a fantastic statement of a fantastic faith, ready to respond to God. When God comes to you today, and He will, and asks something of you, whether it's to do something and reaching out to someone or build a bridge to someone maybe you don't want to, when God comes to you and says, "You know that area of your life you haven't told anybody about, I want you to just surrender that to me and I'll heal that area of your life." When God comes to you today, and He will, and He says, "Son or daughter, I want to grow you even more. I need you to do this." How many are going to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll cooperate with you"? Let's see the hands high. "Yes, Lord, I'll cooperate with you." In fact, put the second hand up. "Yes, Lord, you know what you're doing right now, don't you? I surrender. Let it be to me according to your word." Her yes impacted all of history. Her simple yes impacted all of human history. Do you know that your yes will affect your generations? Affect your family? Affect who you are for all of eternity? Mary's decision then leads to Mary's determination. So the fourth point is Mary's determination. And that's Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Luke chapter 1, 39 to 45. So we've got Mary's decree. We've got Mary's dilemma. We have Mary's decision, and now we have Mary's determination. "Now Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with" what? With what? "With haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy.'" Verse 45, "Blessed is she who" what? "Believed. For there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord." Mary spoke in her faith. She's thoroughly believed that God is able to do this and He will do it. She's convinced of it. Now she follows it up with some quick, determined action steps. She went to the hill country with haste, set rapidly forward to go into the plan of God and look for her relatives and Elizabeth. And then God blessed that with haste movement on into the plan of God. God blessed that by giving her an immediate assuring prophecy. This is going to come to pass. God wanted her encouraged. And all along, there's this ongoing dialogue and this fantastic relationship with God. And Mary's 12, 13, maybe 14 years old, experiencing God the Father like we should be experiencing God the Father. The way of closeness and communion. And God encourages her. The Greek word is, with haste, is spoudē. Say spoudē.
Spoudē.
Means speed and dispatch, eagerness and earnestness. She was determined to see God fulfill His will in her life. And she cooperated and she believed. Received encouragement, received assurance, but still even yet, the worst was yet to come. But she was cooperating and obeying. So we move from Mary's determination into her delight. Mary's delight, verses 46 through 49 of Luke 1. Luke 1, 46 through 49. "And Mary said," say it with me please, here's the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." Listen to it out of the New American Standard. "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior for His regard for the humble state of His bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one who has done great things for me, holy is His name.'" The word magnifies in the Greek is megaluno, and it means to make great, to extol, to enlarge. Her praises got bigger and bigger. She made God larger in her life by looking Him in the face and worshiping and praising Him. Praise and worship is for the Lord. He loves to live in the midst of it. How many also understand praise and worship is for us? It lifts our countenance. It lifts our spirit above the daily grind that we live in. And we need the presence of God, and He presences Himself in our worship. Here's a young woman, absolutely convinced and believing what God has shown her, what God has told her. As a young woman, she's going to be tested, terrifically tested, and it's going to go on throughout her life. But above all, she believes God. She says, "You say it? It's true. I believe it, Lord." After seeing this conversation and having this conversation with God through the angel, she knows and she sees the destiny and the plan from God. She knows all future generations will call her blessed. What a pattern for us as she obeys the Lord. This God-loving, obedient young girl teaches us all one more time to see in the Scripture that our place is to say, "Yes, God, I will cooperate." One more time with me. "Yes, God, I will cooperate." Again, "Yes, God, I will cooperate." What a pattern. At Christmas time and all year through, we need to believe God. We need to hear Him, listen to Him, be honest with Him. Get through our dilemma, receive the decree of the Lord, get through our dilemma, make our decision, be determined about it, and ultimately delight ourselves in Him. He is everything. And Mary knew the Word of God. Mary knew the promise of God. Mary knew the joy of the provision of God, the blessing of an assurance through prophecy, and the blessing of a determined will being met by the Master. Mary knew that she was God's chosen. But Mary was also a mother. And I'm sure, though she knew what might have to come, she had no idea of the depth of it all. You can study and study and study in school, but it's when you get out into the field and work that things pop into vision and make sense. You can say yes, and she did. She can be determined, and yes, and she was. And yet still, there was a cost to a mother's heart. Fantastic, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for Mary's devotion. Regardless of all the pain and the rejection that she felt, regardless of all of the mocking and sneering that took place behind her back as an unwed mother, Lord, she was righteous before You, and we thank You for Mary's example to our life. Lord, You say in the Word, "Whose faith follow?" There's real faith there for us to follow. And this morning, as a congregation, we stand and say, "Yes, Lord, I will cooperate." One more time. "Yes, Lord, I will cooperate." In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord is talking to you and you want to take time for prayer, there's opportunity to come on up here to the altars. We'll be honored to pray with you or have you kneel in a chair, whatever you want to do. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you about that as well. Be sure to invite people to church next Sunday and next Sunday night, our annual community Christmas Eve celebration, which starts at 6:30. All right? God bless you all. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.